Every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming your way tonight at 6, another edition of the Tyson Helton Show, head coach of Western Kentucky. But right now, a chance to talk some Alabama football. Brett Hudson, the Bama beat writer for the Tuscaloosa News, also TideSports.com, joining us now. First of all, Brett, welcome back to the show, and let's look back at Saturday, and boy, nice outcome at the end with Alabama winning 48-17, but what a terrible loss. Very first play as far as the opening kickoff with Jalen Waddle going down, and it looks like he is lost for the year.
Yeah, Alabama unfortunately has some experience with these wins that feel like losses due to injury. They had a couple with Tua last year, and Jalen this year, and if you want to go in the way back machine with Tyrone Prothro, close to 20 years ago now, and there have been some others in between, but yeah, this is one of those injuries. You know, one of the strengths of this Alabama team is it's deep, especially on the offensive side of the ball, more so than the defensive side. So there are a lot of positions where they could handle an injury, and they're deep enough at wide receiver to still be wildly productive and among the best offenses in the nation without Jalen Waddle. But man, is it a lot harder to do? Cause, you know, you could depend on just throwing the ball to him anywhere between 5 and 7 times a game, and him just going and getting you 120, 125 yards and a couple touchdowns. And maybe Slade Bolden can be that guy, or maybe they have a freshman come up and kind of tag team with Slade to recreate some of that production. But it's a lot easier to do it when Waddle's the one out there than trying to get it with somebody else.
Well, we already knew what Bama had with Devontae Smith, who, along with Waddle, both projected first-round picks as far as in the April draft. But John Mechie has certainly stepped it up as far as being the number three guy so far this year. And then Slade Bolden looked really good on Saturday. I mean, you look at their numbers, you know, combined 13 catches, 245 yards on Saturday. Do they need another person to maybe step up, you know, just to play it safe, you know, in case there is another injury that may impact this team down the road?
I think they would need someone to step up in terms of another injury down the road. Like the four or the three now they have of Devontae Smith, John Mechie III, and Slade Bolden, I think that's good enough to again, be one of the best offenses in the country. But they definitely need someone else to step up and be a definite force for when they do want to go to four wide receiver sets, or in the event that someone takes a knock here or there and has to miss a quarter or a half or whatever. And it's almost certainly going to be a freshman in that regard. They signed three of them in their most recent recruiting class. The one that got the most acclaim in the preseason was Javon Baker, but Trayshawn Holden and Tyu Jones-Bell were also highly heralded wide receiver prospects in that recruiting class. So Alabama does need one for depth purposes in the event that someone else gets injured, and a freshman is probably going to have to be the one that does it.
You know, I go back to Derrick Henry's last year when he just took over, and so he became that guy. If Alabama wants to get to that point where Najee Harris could be that guy and he takes over and fortunately for the Alabama at this point with Mac Jones, the way he is passing and connecting with his receivers, I mean, you can have the nice balanced offense. But is Najee Harris good enough to take over that offense?
I think he is. Some people seem to disagree, but I think he is. And it's like you said, Alabama doesn't need that out of a guy. They don't have the shortcomings at one position or another where they need someone like Amari Cooper to catch 1,000 passes in a year, or they don't need someone like Derrick Henry to take a million carries in a year. They have depth of talent at the wide receiver and running back position. Plus, they play a ton of tight ends, both a ton, as in a lot of snaps, and a ton, as in a bunch of different guys playing the position. So they have tons of weapons at several positions that can make this offense hum whenever they want it to, and they kind of like it that way. They kind of like being able to basically take what a defense gives them. They like being able to see a loaded box and throw RPOs all over the field for 400 yards and a few touchdowns. And if somebody wants to come out of a chute in dime or quarter, they like being able to run power and let Najee Harris run for 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns. They like being that offense. Now, in terms of Najee being more of a workhorse kind of guy, I am curious if he starts to take more in the receiving game in Waddle's absence. He had a career high 6 catches against Tennessee, which is kind of wild considering he broke Alabama school record for single season receiving touchdowns by a running back last year. He never had more than 5 catches in a game in doing so last year. A lot of that was just dump offs, kind of reacting to pressure and just Mac Jones getting the ball out of his hands when he needed to. But now they have a week to scheme, knowing that they won't have Jalen Waddle available. So while they have all the confidence in the world and it's Slade Bolden and John Metchie III to continue being productive wide receivers to the point that they don't necessarily have to change their passing game, I wonder if they do a little bit just to steal an extra 2 or 3 touches per game for Najee, just doing so as a receiver this time to kind of compensate for the touches that would have gone to Jalen Waddle.
What is Waddle's prognosis at this point? When will he, you know, be healed, and when can he resume football-type activities?
Yeah, Saban said today that he's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before he can really even start the rehab process. So that puts him around Christmas before he starts doing physical therapy or rehab, and it depends on how his body reacts to that. So I think the optimistic viewpoint is that he would be available to work out for pro teams around the pro day and combine area and individual workout area and kind of that early to mid-March into early to mid-April range. I mean, you would like to think that he would be able to work out for teams in that area, but that's assuming that he reacts well to physical therapy and that he even works up to close to 100% in that time, which I know how NFL people bug out about combines and pro days and individual workouts. The whole thing is garbage to me, but we don't have enough time to get into that conversation. But if I were Waddle, I would wonder if I even need to do that. Like, look at my film. Dude, I was the most electric playmaker in college football this year. If you don't think I'm a top 15 pick, that's a you problem. That's not a me problem. So I'm sure Waddle will do everything he can to make himself available for teams and workouts if he does choose to enter the 2021 NFL draft. But I would also wonder if it's even necessary. Like, does anyone need to watch Jalen Waddle run a few routes and shorts and a t-shirt to find out he's a really good football player? I don't think so.
What's your assessment of Alabama, especially their defense, the way they played in the second half against Georgia, and then their overall game against Tennessee on Saturday? Because to me, it looks like the defense is finally getting to the point where they're looking more like an Alabama defense.
Definitely better over the last 6 quarters. I take it with a few grains of salt because those are offenses that aren't really structured to challenge Alabama in the way that teams that actually threaten Alabama challenge them. So while they did perform better in the second half against Georgia and the entire game against Tennessee, those teams aren't presenting the issues that Alabama's defense needs to fix. Tennessee did present a little bit of situational tempo, and Georgia did too. So clearly they took the note from Ole Miss in that regard, but I think there are other teams down the road, starting with Mississippi State this week, LSU and Auburn down the road, that are going to present the things that Alabama needs to solve far more frequently than Georgia and Tennessee did if we're going to evaluate this defense in terms of its viability of being a national championship unit, which is always the conversation here in Alabama. The last 6 quarters have been good, but they haven't necessarily spoken to the actual issues that Alabama has to fix if this unit's going to be a national championship unit.
Then again, if you keep adding to your totals of consecutive games with 35 or more points scored, which is the most, with 18 now, most ever in college football history. I mean, let that sink in for just a second. 18 straight games, 35 or, you know, or more points. It's the most ever in college football history.
And almost all of them against Power 5 competition, thanks to when those 18 games fall. There's been no non-conference games. This year, ended with Michigan in the Capital One Bowl. I imagine that takes all of last season into account, or most of it.
Right.
So you're getting a few G5 or FCS games in there, but almost all of it against Power 5 competition, which just speaks to the level of talent they have around here and speaks to the system that Steve Sarkisian puts in place to best use it. You know, it would be really easy to look at this offensive line, look at Najee Harris and Brian Robinson Jr. and even Trey Sanders in your backfield and say, hey, we're going to be and all these tight ends too, and say, hey, we're going to be a two tight end, run the ball 45 times kind of team. It'd be very easy to do that, but they don't. They know they have aspirations bigger than that and talent that is bigger than that. So they use it the way it needs to be used, and the results speak for themselves, apparently in record-breaking fashion.
TideSports.com is the site. Brett Hudson, Alabama beat writer with the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. Brett, we appreciate you as always. Have an incredible rest of the week, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Talk to y'all later.